Elsa Marston Harik, a native of New England, has lived in Bloomington since the 1960s with her husband, the late Professor Eliah Harik, and their three sons. Thanks to trips and sojourns in the Middle East connected with her husband's work and her own interests, she specializes in writing for young people about that area, ancient and modern. Rather than focusing on the stuff of headlines about the Middle East, Elsa Marston Harik's new book, Santa Claus in Baghdad, and other stories about teens in the Arab world, provides glimpses into the lives of ordinary young people. They face the sort of challenges that teenagers encounter everywhere, involving friends, parents, school, romance, and finding the right gift for the esteemed teacher. These stories will resonate with Americans young and older. The book was published in 2008 by the IU Press. This is The Poet's Weave. I have Elsa Marston Harik with me in the studio to read from her book. I am Jenny Kander.
In Line, A Story from Egypt. Because of her father's work, Rania's family has recently had to move from Cairo to a village in the Delta. Her mother, well-educated and unhappy in this humble social setting, makes strict demands on Rania. She must study hard, she must behave correctly at all times. But what matters most to Rania is finding a friend. Halfway home from school, on a lovely clear day in December, I did something really daring. I decided to change my route. Not much, of course, because my mother knew exactly how long it took me to get home, and she would be waiting. I just thought it would be nice to walk along the canal a bit and pretend it was the Nile. That's how it happened. I ran into Faiza. I'd noticed her in class. You could hardly not notice her, even in a classroom as packed with people as ours. She always raised her hand to answer the teacher's questions. She even asked good questions of her own. What's more, she was a lot smarter than most of the boys and wasn't afraid to let them know it. So I'd begun to think I'd like to get to know her. But how? Most people still acted as if I were from Mars or someplace even farther away, and they couldn't figure me out. I was afraid Faiza might feel that way, too. Well, I would try, at least. Faiza was standing at the edge of the canal, holding a big bunch of flowers, roses so bedraggled they looked as though the flower seller had given them to her for free. But what made me curious was the way she was staring down at the canal. I stopped near her to see what she was looking at. It was a donkey, dead, lying there in the water. "Ugh, how awful," I said. "Why do they allow that?" I couldn't help it, bursting out like that, even before saying hello. Such an ugly sight, flies and everything. "Ugh is right, Rania," Faiza said, barely glancing at me. "It's stupid and bad for health. And besides, it's sad. Poor donkey, he wasn't even very old." It didn't surprise me that she knew my name. The teacher had called on me often enough. But what Faiza said about the dead donkey being sad did surprise me. Dead animals were common in the countryside, and nobody seemed to care much, so far as I could tell. Why should she feel sad? "Anyway," I said, "it would have had a hard life." Faiza sighed. "Of course, but I still think it's too bad for animals to die so miserably. I wish all creatures could have happy lives, people and animals both." I looked at her, wondering. She was quite pretty, with gray eyes and her hair in braids. Then I had an idea, although it was a little bold of me since we didn't even know each other. "Maybe you should become a veterinarian," I said. For the first time, she looked up at me and smiled. "Yes, yes, that's exactly what I want to do. Go to veterinary college and then work in a village or town somewhere around here. Maybe I can make life a little better someday." Imagine already knowing what you want to do in life, and something that would be useful, like helping farmers keep their animals healthy. The kids I knew in Cairo, all they thought about was music and the cinema, and having a big birthday party at an expensive hotel. Biza sighed again. I have to get home now. But as she started to leave the canal, she paused and turned back. She broke off a couple of droopy rosebuds and tossed them down onto the donkey. What a thing to do! Scatter flowers on a dead animal! But a moment later, hardly knowing I was doing it, I broke off one of her roses. Let me, too. Again, Fiza grinned at me, and then we both tried to look very solemn and sad. We tossed flowers with great ceremony until that big bunch was all gone and the donkey was covered with pink and yellow rosebuds. For sure, that donkey needs them more than my family does, said Fiza. At least we've given him a proper funeral. I was so surprised at myself for what I'd done that I had to smile, and we both began to laugh. Then we said goodbye, and I went on my way. I kept thinking, what would my mother do if she knew I'd thrown rosebuds onto a dead donkey? Probably sterilize my hands. So that was how Fiza and I became friends. A funeral made me start to feel alive again.
Elsa Marston Harik has been reading from her book on today's Poets Weave program. I'm Jenny Kander. A film made from the title story, Santa Claus in Baghdad, will be shown on Sunday, December the 21st, at 3 p.m. in the auditorium of the Monroe County Public Library, Bloomington.